Mo'adim L'Simcha. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Chof Hei. We're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah. Nishpach Adam al Haritzpah. So, what happens if the blood, instead of Asfom in Haritzpah, which we had before, that the Kohen actually had already been the Kabbal Adam, the dam spilled out on the floor. So we said over there, once the dam was kosher in the Kos, even if you're Osef from the Ritzpah, it's considered to be kosher. However, here we're talking about where it falls directly onto the floor instead of into the Mizrak. And so there never was a kosher Kabbalah. What's the din? In that case, it's possible. Tana Rabbana. Where do we get this from? The lakach hakohen mashiach midam hapar. So when we're talking about midam hapar, that means it's from that part of the blood that is necessary for the direct support of the life of the par, which means it has to be midam hanefesh, not from blood that's coming from capillaries in the skin, velo midam hatamtzit, and not from dam that was after the original dam that is spurts immediately after Shechita, that trickling of blood afterwards is not considered to be the dam hanefesh. It's referring to the dam hapar, that's its actual flow of life blood. Midam hapar can also be read as dam mehapar yekablanu, which means it has to be read, taken directly from the par, and not from the floor, or not from something else. Because Yitzhak Adaita, if you think that it means actually midam hapar, the way it's written, then that would imply that midam means afilu miktzat adam. That all that you need to do is to get a little bit of the dam, and that would be sufficient. But that isn't true, because as Rav points out, ha-shochet tzarich she-yekabel et kol damo shel par, shenema vet kol damo yishpoch. Since later on, at the time of the Shvichas Hadam, it says you have to pour out kol dadam, so obviously mi hadam doesn't make much sense to say at the original time when you're being mekabel hadam. It can't be less than what it is that you're being called to be shofech. In which case, how do we understand the midam hapar? Instead of midam hapar, read it as dam mi hapar, because this Tana holds that we are gorin Umosifin vidorshim, that one of the ways that we're able to be derish the psukim is the fact that we will sometimes take actually a letter from one word and use it in its connected word. So it's midam hapar is just as easily read as dam mehapar. And this is one of the ways in which we're derish Loshon HaKodesh. Gufa. Omer Yehuda Omar Rav, HaShochet Tzarich Sheyekabel Et Kol Damo Shel Par. I didn't quite understand what you quoted from Rav. You brought a raya that you need to have all of the dam of the par. Sheneemar Ve'et Kol Dam HaPar Yishpoch. Now that's absurd, because Shvicha is done only on Shirayim. Isn't that right? Shirayim, by definition, are the leftovers after we did the original Zrika. So it can't possibly be all of the blood. So it's a little bit ridiculous to be Dorish a Pasuk that's referring to Shvicha, specifically of leftover dam after the main Nesinas Adam, and to say that that implies that we need the Kol Adam. So because of a Pishirayim Ksiv. Well, true. But remember, another one of the Drachim, that word Dorish, is with the concept of Im Eino Inyan Le, X, so Tneo Le Inyan Y. And therefore, since over here, obviously, it's not applicable to the Shirayim per se, the Alessi L'Kulei Dam, there's no way that you could have Kulei Dam with Shirayim. It's obviously referring to something that was up until this point, and that would mean Tneu Inyan L'Kabbalah. So it's got to mean that that Dam that you're going to be Shofech has to be what was initially Kol HaDam. So that's the Meino Inyan to Shirayim, obviously, Tneo inyet to the original Kabbalah. Omer Yehuda Omer Shmuel HaShochet Tzarich Sheyagbia HaSakin L'Ma'ala. You have to lift that knife up so that you're not leaving it in a position where dam can drip from that knife into the actual mizrak, because then that would mean that the dam in the mizrak comprised dam that was not directly from the tzavar of the par, and instead it came from somewhere else, because since it says v'lakach midam hapar, and this would be not directly the dam hapar, but it would be dam on something else, in this case, in the knife, and we need directly to be able to put it from the neck into the mizrak. So then what would you do exactly with the dam that's on the sakin? I mean, you need to make sure that it's not going to have dam from a previous shechita on the next shechita, because then you will have mixed that dam, and then it will be dam from the previous par, which is even worse, in this mizrak. So what do you do with it? If you can't, I mean, what I thought you did was very reasonably, you took it, and excuse me, and you rub it off on the edge of the mizrak, right? So you just go like that. But now you're telling me I can't let it get into the mizrak. So what exactly am I supposed to do with it? Amar Abaye bisvat mizrak. What you do is you rub it off on the outside of the top of the mizrak. That way the dam doesn't get into the mizrak, but it's actually cleaned off, and therefore there's no problem in being able to use it the next time. That's why we use the word kippurei zahav. Why do we use the word in Ezra when it refers to the mizrakim? It calls them kippurim. Why kippurim? Because the word kaper is to wipe clean. And so we're calling them kippurei zahav because we use the top of it to wipe it clean. Omer of Chizda, Omer of Yirmiyah bar Abba, Hashochet tzarich shiitain. By the way, there's some, these beautiful places where we use that word, like Boy lechipure yodei bahu gavra. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the base of Mikdash, and he's going to rub his hands clean on me. I'm out of here. And a number of other beautiful examples of kippurei, but clearly that's a word that we use for rubbing clean. Omer of Chizda, Omer of Yirmiyah bar Abba, Hashochet tzarich sheyitain vridin tocha kli. Now the vridin, those are the main blood that you're going to be having, the arteries that are going alongside the actual trachea. And you can't possibly put the vridim, if we're talking about the shechita of an animal, maybe on an oath, we have that concept. So on an oath, maybe you could do this, but certainly if you're being shochet a par, there's no possible way that you could put the vridim into a coat. So what it must mean is that they have to actually be facing directly over the kli. So that means that they shouldn't come from the avir into the kli, because that's not directly from the par. Like this, if it's over the kli, so then being over the avir of the kli would mean that you're emptying the dam of the par directly into that kli. Itmar, I mean, that's the way Rav Asi said that Rabbi Yochanan put it, is that vridim tzarech shiyiru avir kli. So the vridim have to actually be able to see, so to speak, in other words, directly over the inside of the mizrak. So by mine rabasi mirab Yochanan. So let me ask you something. Suppose you were being mekabel the dam. Now, once the dam gets into the actual airspace of the mizrak, it's then in the mizrak, and that's the Kabbalah. It doesn't have to actually land at the bottom of the mizrak, because the Avir Kli is considered to be the Kli. But here we're talking about, as you said, it's above the Kli, it's facing down into the Kli, and I'd like to know what happens if, in fact, by the time the Dam is going to get into the Kli, there isn't any bottom. So this is an interesting theoretical question. How do we define the Avir of a Kli? And this is a Gavi idea, so he's got to take out the wand. Maybe he doesn't see the sparks that come out of it when he waves it, but we certainly do. So if he's got his wand, he can write this down. What is the idea of avir she'ein sofo lanuach? So this, let's consider this theoretical consideration. There was dam that was falling. Let's imagine that it's a foot away, right? So now it's facing down into the avir ha'kli, and it's not yet within the actual mechitzas of the kli. The thing is that while the dam is falling, the bottom falls out of the mizrak. So that would mean that there's never going to be a hanocha in the kli. What's the din of avir? Meaning not the avir between the actual mechitzes of the kli, but the avir above the kli where it's aiming into the kli, where it's not going to land because in the end there was no bottom to that kli. So Hayu Mekabels is in the act of doing the Kabbalah, v'nifchatu shulei ha-mizrak ad shelo higi adam la'avir. Suppose the bottom of the mizrak falls out. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but actually it did happen to me with a glass. pouring the coffee, the bottom falls out of the coffee cup, and the whole thing just goes directly on the floor. So what happens if something like that takes place in a mizrak? So nifchatu shulei ha-mizrak ad shelo higi adam la'avir. Question is, mau, avir she'ein sofo lanuach, if something that is in the airspace above a kli, but it hasn't yet come into the avir ha-kli, is that considered to be the same as actually munach or lav kemunach? Now that would be the brackets with the magic wand. Is it considered to be in that kli? Or is it not considered in that kli? So the dam has not yet been within a kli at any point if avir she'in sofo lanuach is not considered to be munach. Omaloi, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabasi, well, it's very clear from the braita that I'm going to show you, which is nogea, the halacha of the mayim chayim that we need for the pora aduma. Let's imagine a case like this. It has to be taken directly from running water. So suppose you had running water, but the running water was coming along a zinuk. So a zinuk is that it's on the top of a hill, and the water is running down the side of the mountain. And at the bottom, before it becomes horizontal, there's a barrel. Now, that barrel was not put there for the purposes of collecting the water that was coming down for the Pora Aduma, which means that if I take it out of the barrel subsequently, it's not Mayim Chayim. Because it has to be Mayim Chayim El Keli. It has to go directly from the Zinuk into the Kli that was going to be used for the Pora Aduma. So the din is over there that the water that is inside of the chavis is obviously not kosher for the Pora Aduma, but neither is the water that is in the air, where the water became airborne as it's falling, as a waterfall, and it's falling into this chavis. The water above it is also pasul, which means that it's as if it's already inside of the chavit. So what does that show you? That obviously it was considered to be in the airspace before. Now, this doesn't address our question, obviously, because our question was, what happens if the bottom falls out? And here, no bottom fell out. But the Gemara will discuss this in a moment. So the din is that, of course, it wouldn't be kosher. So if you took another kli and you now interrupted the flow of the water over the air heading down into the chavit at the bottom of this waterfall, at that point, it was already pasul because it was as if it was in the kli. So what do you see from there? That avir, I mean, it's avir she'sofo lanuach, it's not avir she'ein sofo lanuach, but you definitely at least see from there that avir she'sofo lanuach is considered to be a actual kli. And therefore, you can't now interrupt the flow with another kli and say, I'm going to take this for the purposes of the Pora Aduma, because that flow that I interrupted was already considered to be not Mayim Chayim. Now, how about if you take this new kli and you put it right to the zinuk? So the zinuk is the place where the water flies off of the edge of the hill. Let's imagine a cliff. So it's easier to see it. You've got a cliff. The water's flowing off the cliff. You take the kli and you put it directly at that point before it went into the airspace over the chavit. That would be fine. And then it would be kosher. So mayim shebetocha, the water that's inside of it, is in this case, then it would be pasul. The mayim that is outside of it would be okay. There's no air in this case at all. Only the water that goes directly into it. So the water in that case, this is where I didn't do it to take it for, at this point, to take it for the para aduma. So any water that hasn't yet started flowing down into the airspace is fine. It's only the water that's directly inside of the airspace of something that is pasul. So you see from here too that as long as it's not on its way down into it, it would be kosher. Once it's on its way into the space of a kli, not for the purposes of the paraduma, it would be pasul. So you see from here that it's considered to be munach betocho. Could you explain to me what the heck you're talking about over here? I asked you a question. My question was, avir she'in sof full of nuach, and you bring me a raya from a braita that isn't even discussing a case of avir she'in sof full of nuach. I never questioned, did I, about whether avir she'in sof full of nuach is considered to be munach? So what is this all about? I might. Boim mine, Ravasi asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the din of avir she'in sof full of nuach? And Ravasi says, well, Rav Yochanan says to Ravasi, well, I'll prove it to you from this case of the chavit, which is, yes, so full of nuach. Yes, of course, you're 100% right. However, you don't know the full story. Rav Asi actually asked both levels to Rabbi Yochanan, and he was saying, im tim tzolomar. So he's saying, okay, first of all, is avir she'so full of nuach, is that considered to be, avir she'ein so full of nuach, is that considered to be munach or not? And im tim tzolomar, if you're going to tell me, no, that's not considered to be munach, then is that because it's ain't so full of nuach or because it's not in the airspace of the kli yet? How about if it was avir she'so full of nuach? What would be the din there? So, enochinami, Rabbi Yochanan answered the second level of the question, and he didn't have a raya to the first. But what he was saying was, look, if you're going to tell me that it's so full of nuach, then it actually would be, for sure, considered to be munach. And that would mean that if it's in a makom where it's munach, which means that the, let's say, before the dam gets into the kli, somebody knocks the kohen's hand, and then it goes to the floor. That's okay, because then it was actually munach in the kli of that airspace. There was nothing wrong with the kli, and because of that, it was already mikuba. That's the same thing as the case that we have over here. In the inverse, of course. In our case over here, the par aduma, the water is pasul. But because of that, in the same case, the dam would be kosher if it was over the mizrak. So that's your answer. Fine. Okay. As far as the other question is, the Gemara doesn't say an answer, but it depends how you understand the concept of im tim tzolomar. Remember that the Rambam understands im tim tzolomar different than most understand it. So according to the way the Rambam learns the klolim of an im tim tzolomar, the im tim tzolomar is what the assumption is before we get to the second one. So therefore, the Rambam paskins that it's clear from this Gemara, since the Imtim Tzolomar was, if you're going to tell me that Avir She'in Sof Full of Nuach is not considered to be Munach, that means that that's the assumption. This is the klal in the Rambam all over. Every Imtim Tzolomar, the Rambam paskins was the correct assumption. And therefore, he paskins Halacha L'maisa, Avir She'in Sof Full of Nuach is not considered to be kumunach, and avir she'so full of nuach is considered to be munach. That's the way that Rabbi Yosef says over this conversation. Now, Rav Kahana, He has a different one. Rav Kahana has that the question Rav Asi asked was the question of about the Chovis, and he answered it by bringing the case of the Chovis. Rav Asi apparently didn't know the Braita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan didn't make a comparison. He answered the question directly. And he asked whether Avir is considered to still be Mayim Chayim Lagabi de Paraduma, if it was in the Avir of a Kli that was not meant for the Mayim Chayim receptacle. And he brought him a Raya from the Braita, which is very straightforward. That's Rav Kahana's approach. Rabba actually has almost the opposite approach, in which the question that Rav Asi asked was Chovis, and the answer that he gave him was the din of the Mizrak. Because basically, according to Rabba, the question was raised, Dafka, Legabe, the din of the Chovis, and Rabbi Yochanan had said to him like this, are you not Moda, that when we generally do a Kabbalas Hadam in the Beis HaMikdash, it's impossible to get that dam directly into the Mizrak without its traveling some space through the air horizontally. Because you're not going to be able to get it from a neck that is going spurting downwards directly, right? But then what does that mean? During that time of the horizontal flow, so then you should be calling it a not from the par, and you said it has to be dam miha par, but rather from the avir. So why is that kosher? It's only kosher because it's going to be falling into the avir of the Mizrak. In other words, we can't possibly mean that there's no vector that's taking it also in a horizontal direction. I mean, what would be the chances that you're able to get the dam to flow directly without any horizontal flow at all? Almost zero. Which means that since it was over the avir of the Mizrak, and therefore gravitationally it's going to end up in the Mizrak, it's considered to be in that avir kli. Anyway, we don't care about the fact that it's also traveling through the air. So you see that that's considered to be dam mehapar directly. In which case, you see from here that once the mayim chayim is in the airspace of that chovis, where it is going to gravitationally, the munach, at that moment, it loses its shame of Mayim Chayim, if that chovis wasn't put there in order to collect that Mayim Chayim. Tananahosa. So we've got a Mishnah in Pora that suppose, now this is an extremely important yesod, we spoke about this in Mikvaot, but it wasn't addressed as clearly as it is in this sugya. And that's called another very important Gav Yesod, Havayatan al Yedei Tahara, which means that wherever we need water that is going to be used for Tahara, so either for a mikvah, or it's going to be used for the Tahara of the Parah Aduma, and therefore it requires a Mayim Chayim, that means that if something that was Mekabel Tuma, so let's say you put your human hand or your human foot or you took spinach greens or some type of veggie, cabbage, lettuce, whatever, and you use that as something that will divert the water to go into a chavis in order that we should be able to use that water for the Parah Aduma. It's pasul. But if you used alei kanim or alei egozim, which are themselves not edible, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma, then it would be kosher. Zaklal. Davar ha-mekabel tuma is psulim, and davar she'enu mekabel tuma is ksheri. So that means whenever you're going to be using water for purposes of Tyra, they have to get to where they're going in through a medium that is not mekabel tuma. How do we know this? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Bar Abba. Omer Kro, Ach ma'ayan ubor mikve mayim, yihiye tahor. What does that mean? Yihiye, shall be tahor? What do you mean, shall be? It is tahor. It should just say tahor. So Yihyeh Tohar means that all elements of its, remember, this is once again an existential verb, and as we know, every existential verb, which are all functions of Haya, Hoveh, Yihyeh, Yesh, and so on, those are existential terms, and they mean that's the way that it shall be. So it's referring to a status of Havayatan, their coming into being. For usage of Tahara needs to be Tahar through Tahara. And therefore, if I have a Mayanu Bar, in order for it to be called Tahar, it has to be through the Havaya of Tahara. So this would be whether we're talking about the Meipara of Mayim Chaim Eden, or whether we're talking about Mayim for a Mikvah. Omer Rabbi Chiya, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now, what this is telling us, it seems to be taken for granted, that zot omeret avir kli kekli dami. The Mishnah seems to imply that once something is above a kli, it's actually inside of that kli. Because otherwise, if you put your hand, there's water that's pouring down. And now you're putting something in the way, which diverts the water. But again, diverting that water is still going to make the water go in the direction through the air into that space. So you didn't actually do something to that water because it didn't come from your hand into the water. But it says that even so, if you used your hand to bring it to the actual opening of the chavis, then even though, again, it certainly has a horizontal vector, it's considered to be inside of that kli. So, I mean, we must be talking about a case where the water is going to be flowing off of his hand above the kli, and then it was going to fall into the kli. But that means that that airspace is considered to be coming from your hand into the kli, even though it wasn't in the kli. You didn't stick your hand into the kli. So you see from there, again, that avir kli is considered completely to be a kli. Otherwise, why would it be possible? So this is another raya to what we saw before from that braita about the chavis, but this is a mishnah and is a better raya than the one that we had before. Omale Rebbe Zera le Rebbe Chiya bar Abba. Well, what makes you think that we're talking about where his hand was getting the water to flow over the kli? Maybe he had stuck his hand into the kli, and now the water was flowing along his arm, down his hand, into the kli. So v'dilma b'shotet. Omale, you tarda. You are an absolute blundering idiot. Now, I think the way the Ritva learns, that tarda comes, I mean, we find this in a number of places. This is not the only place, but over here it's so appropriate because the question, according to the Ritva, a tarda means literally an idiot whose saliva is constantly flowing out of his mouth. I think it's called a blathering idiot, right? But anyway, so since he asked them, maybe it's talking about that the water is dripping down from his hand into the kli, saying, you look like a blathering idiot with your spit running down your lips. You're so stupid. And before you ask a question, why don't you read the words carefully, okay? I love these people that jump. This is the way some of them before should learn, that it means you're too lazy to use your brains. That's what a tarda is. There's a lot of different lishanos. All of them focus on different elements of tarda. And the idea over here is, if you think before you leap and you ask a question where you've properly thought it through, that's the way to ask a question. But some people, they, before you even finish your statement, they're already asking a question because they haven't even paid attention to what it is that you're saying. What did it say over here? Kidei she'ya'avru mayim lechavit d'nan. What's this word ya'avru? When do we use the word ya'avru? When we're talking about kidei she'yavo? No. Yavru means that on their flow, the flow should now be ending up in the Kavit. That's why we use the word Yavru. So what kind of idiot asks a question? Maybe it's talking about that he put his hand directly into it. Then why would we use the word Yavru? Anyway, the truth is that this entire idea in the Mishnah was learned from the Eidos of Rebbe Tzodek in Idyos. We just had this in Idyos. It's not. Hey, Eid Rebbe Tzodek, ala zochalin shekichlan be'ale agozim shehein kisherin. And this is exactly what we said over here. If you're using leaves from a nut tree, since the leaves themselves aren't edible, then that water will be kosher because they were havayatan b'tahara. And in fact, this was an actual maisa in Holaya. Ubama aselif lechachamim b'lishkata gazit v'hichshiru. So therefore, they said, this is considered to be havayatan al yedei tahara. Therefore, it's kosher for mitzera, it's kosher for pora, it's kosher for tvilas hazov, and it's still going to be kosher. Despite the fact that this is a tree that grows food, it's still, the leaf is havayatan al yedei tahara. Omar Rebbe Zera, Omar Rebbe. Interesting, very strange halacha. If somebody was tzoring the ozen of a par, v'achakach kibel damo, so you did the Kabbalah after you made a pagam in the ear, which is considered, even though it's only a small nick, it's considered to be a mum, then it's possible. Even though at the time of the shechita, it was completely tamim and kosher, when you do the Kabbalah, it has to still be in exactly the same state of kashrut that it was in at the time of the Shechita. Why? Because it says, V'lakach midam hapar. So what is that? You mean the par? That, well, isn't that what we're talking about? Just V'lakach midamo. So, but the point of saying V'lakach midam hapar is this the same par that it always was? If it's the same par, then fine, V'lakach midam hapar. But if something has happened to it between the Shechita and the Kabbalah, and it's no longer that nice, unblemished par that it was until now, that's not the par that I'm talking about. And this is par shahayah kvar. It means the one that has been there before. Now, this is all a reference to Kodshei Kodashim, because this is mamish, the max. We're talking about the par of a Kohen Mashiach over here, and that is Kodesh Kodashim. Would this be true, let's say, even on a shlomim? Kachim kalon minolon? Is there such a chumrah that the animal has to be in the same state that it was at the time of Shechita when you go ahead and do the Kabbalah? On Marava, it's exactly the same, because we have the same din legabi korban pesach, which is definitely kachim kalon. Remember, korban pesach is essentially a shlomim. And it says in the Braita, Se tamim zachar ben shana. What that means is that it needs to be tamim uben shana b'shchat shchita. So at the time that you do the shchita, not at the time that you take it, not at the time that you set it aside for a korban pesach, but at the time of tochosu, which is the act of shchita, at that point it has to be a se tamim. Okay, but how do I know that it also has to be tamim b'kabbalah, and b'holocha, and by zrika? How do we know there? Ah, that's because the pasuk says, se tamim zachar ben shana yihyeh lachem. Yihyeh again means that's the way it's got to be. And that means it has to be what it always was, yihyeh. So existentially, kol havayotav, all of its existential appearances. Lo yiyu ela tamu ben shana. That's what the pasuk is saying. It's got to be the same all along. Eisve abaye, is that true? I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. Because Rabbi Yoshua Eimer, that kol hazvachim sheba Torah, say you had whatever zevach it was, and kol atara kula, any type of korban, where something happened to the basar, or if it's an oil, or the chalev, or It was, there was nothing left of it at all. So there, we don't do the Zrika, because we do the Zrika to be matir. And if the Zrika is not a matir, we don't do the Zrika only to be meratza. There needs to be something that the Zrika is going to be matir. But as long as there was a kezias of something, so there could be a kezias of basar, or there could be a kezias of chelev, that is enough to justify doing the Zrika. And at that point, the korban is kosher, because the Zrika was meratzeh. And remember, it doesn't really matter to us whether anything ultimately is brought on the Mizbeach or not. So if there is no basar, nobody's going to eat anything. The Mizbeach's not going to eat anything. It doesn't matter, because there was one kezias, and that would be sufficient. Now, I think that an animal that is missing 99.99% of itself and is left with a kezias, that's sort of a big mum, wouldn't you say? I mean, I think any idiot would see, oh, this doesn't seem to be kosher for this veil. And you just said that it has to be the same animal it always was. Now, I know there's some old men that hold on to the business. They're 110. I'm still the same boss I always was, but nobody's going to fool me into thinking that this par is the par it always was. So how exactly could we possibly understand this halacha in light of the pasuk that we just learned that says all of the havaya has to be all along, all the way through the Zrika? Who's unmuted over here? Akiva, lad, you're driving. You should at least keep still. Ah, you're out of the car, I see. Okay. Well, then you can interrupt. Great to see you. Okay. So how is this possible? Ah, so obviously when it said before that it needs to be a tam uvenshana, the part that said, how do we know that that's true even about the rest of it, all the way through the Zrika? That wasn't talking about the tam. It was referring to the last word, tamim ben shana, and it has to be a ben shana all the way through even the Zrika. That's what it must mean. What? I mean, how could it be otherwise? I don't understand. It's all within the same day. And so how could it be that at the Shas of the Shechita, it was a Ben Shana, and then the Pasuk is telling me, but if between the Shechita and the Zrika, it's no longer a Ben Shana, well, that was a happy birthday party, let me tell you, with the Dam and the Kos, you know. Anyway, so if it's no longer a Ben Shana, so then it's puzzle. How could it possibly be at the time of the Halacha or the time of the Zrika, a two-year-old, if until then it was, and when a two-year-old means a one-year-old, in its second year, and until then it was in its first year? Amarava, why not? What prejudiced thinking you see from here? Instead of asking questions, why don't you derive what it's teaching you? You see from here that indeed, a birthday of a korban is defined by minute to minute, not defined by the day, and certainly not defined by the year. And therefore, zot omeret sha'ot potzlot bekodashim. It is, goes according, if it was born at 5 o'clock in the afternoon a year ago, then at 5 o'clock it enters its second year. Not on the day, but on the hour. And therefore, it's possible for it to be within its first year at the time of Shechita, and now within its second year at the time of the Kabbalah or the Zrika. Another interesting issue, now that we've talked about events between the Shechita and the Kabbalah. Let me tell you, in a case where the animal is inside of the Chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, so it's in the Azara, the problem is that it's legs are still outside. Now, that's not a problem, because Rosh HaVerubo is inside, and therefore the Shechita is being done inside. There's no problem. But the moment that you do the Shechita, at that moment, the dam that is outside, in the blood vessels that are outside, becomes posel biyotze, because dam becomes posel biyotze. The animal doesn't become posel biyotze, but the blood does. And at the moment that you do the shechita, the dam in those legs is considered to be yotze. Because now it's dam. Now it's not animal. And that is going to posel the dam for Kabbalah. So you have to make sure that you only have dam that wasn't nifsal biyotze in the mizrak. So therefore, you have to make sure that that dam is not going to be there. So therefore, now the sentence that we're learning is ridiculous. If you cut off its legs and then you do the shechita, so then it's kosher, which is insane. If you cut off its legs and then you do the shechita, you did the shechita of a bal mum. So obviously, that can't be what it means. But okay, well, let's read it. So if you cut off its legs and then you did the shechita, so then that means that there was no yotze at that time, then it's kosher. But if first you did the shechita and then you cut off the legs, so then it's posel, because then that dam is going to come into the mizrak also, mix with it, and posel it. So because of that, this is also, remember that there's a special gezeir that you don't go posel rov when it comes to the dam in the mizrak. So if there's some dam that's posel, this is a takon and rabbanon, but nonetheless, lamaisa, we wouldn't be able to use it. So therefore, you'd have to cut off the legs before. Cut off the legs before? What are you talking about? If chatach v'achakar shachat kshira, how can you bring a bal mum to the mizbeach? You're being makar of a bal mum. Sorry. What he must have said is that Rav Ami b'shem Rav Elazar said that if you cut off the legs before you did the kabbalah, then it's kosher. But if you did first the kabbalah, when there's going to be blood from those legs, which is there for yotze, and then you cut it off, then it would be possible. Huh? But didn't we just say that if you make even a nick in the ear of that part, here we have the same halacha about a bechor, Amar Rabbi Zera, Hatsorem ozen bevechor v'charkach kibel damav. So let's say you made a mum in a bechor and then you did the kabbalah. It's possible. This we learned from the pasuk that we just learned about the par. V'lakach midam ha-par, the par that was the way that it used to be. We learned that a minute ago, which is the par shayakvar, which means that you need to have a tumim all the way through the kabbalah's hadam. So how can you say chatach v'charkach kibel kshera if it would be a balmum? Whoa. Omer of Chista, well, you do it without creating a mum. What you do is you cut off the circulation from the legs, but you don't break any bone. And because of that, what you've done is you cut through the basar and you cut through any arteries, and therefore there's no dam that's going to be going into the mizrak, but you haven't made any type of mum because there's no permanent damage. And in that case, you know, he may need some stitches. Of course, by then he'll be dead, so we won't need the stitches. But the point is that you don't make a mum, and therefore it would be kosher. Whoa. So kibel v'charka chatach. But you're saying if it would be the other way around, and you did the kabbalah before you cut off the dam that was coming from the legs, that was yotze, apparently you're saying that it's considered to be dam at that point immediately after the shechita. But what that would mean is that the dam that was nifsal, the only dam that's nifsal biyotze, is dam that is roi to be the dam on the mizbeach. Which means that you would be chayev kores if you drank blood that came from the blood in the legs, and that's even though it's not considered to be dam hanefesh. Problem is that that's not true. The halacha lemaisa is that if you drink dam from the evorim, and you're not drinking dam that is coming directly from the heart, and that is spurting, pumped now by the heart, spurting out directly, you're not going to be chayev kares. So this is called dam evorim. But what you're saying is that Dhamma move Labha Evarim, so even though it's going through local vessels in the actual meat in the Evarim, you're telling me that it has a din of Dham that the Torah asserted? Well, actually, maybe not. Maybe the reason that it's puzzle is because of Shamnunis. So the Shamnunis, so it could be whatever. Maybe this animal's got high cholesterol. Now, cholesterol, of course, is Shamnunis, in which case, obviously, all blood contains a significant portion of Shamnunis. So that would mean that the Shamnunis, which has a din of Basar, so any fat content in the Dham is considered to be Basar. Basar is definitely Pasul B'Yotzei. And maybe the reason Reb Ami said is that it's Pasul is because the Dham that was the Shamnunis in the Dham of the Raglayim ended up in the Mizrak, if you didn't cut it off beforehand. And therefore, it would be Yotzei, and it would be Pasul. Lachora. Maybe that's the pshat. But then that would mean Shma Mina, Besar Kachim Kalim Shiatsuli Fnezrikas Dam Pasul. You'd be saying that actually the halacha of Yotzei is chal even before Zrika. But Lamaisa, we say all over, once we do the Zrika, at that point it becomes Kodesh, and it is considered to be Nifsal B'Yotzei, and so on. So in this case, we didn't do yet the Zrika, and even though ultimately, I mean, this is a rather strange situation. We're talking about a Bechor, it was said in the Reb Zera's case. So even though you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim outside, it's going to be Nifsal before you did the Zrika because it is not yet Kachim Kalim that is Roy Frachila until after the Zrika, which means that it's still considered to be the equivalent of Kachim Kalim. It doesn't have any Mokom in Yerushalayim, which is Kosher Frachila's Kachim Kalim. However, the truth is that we don't paskin that way. And the reason that we don't paskin that way is because basar, which is so full at seit, is not considered to be pasul biyotze. See, even though right now it's not roi to be eaten in Yerushalayim, but since so full, the zrika is meant to make it kosher to biyotze to Yerushalayim to be nechal, it doesn't become nifsal even now. Okay, maybe Reb Ami wasn't talking about the case of the Bechor. Maybe Reb Ami was talking only about Kachi Kachim. And Kachi Kachim is definitely going to be puzzle because even Le'acha Zrika, they're not going to be mutter in Yerushalayim. So over there, for sure, they are considered to be Nifsal. So you can't prove anything from here. Legabe the Shaila of Zrika for Kachim Kalim. Okay, there's a lot of halachas here that we've just taken for granted. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we'll do Chafav as Chafav. I just didn't want to stop and smack bang in the middle of the sugya. And we'll go over the dinim that we just sort of assumed, and we didn't even have any sparks flying out of any kind of pens, and we'll be able to write down these concepts tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Meanwhile, wishing you mo'adim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason, and a great pleasure to be with you on this wonderful Chol HaMoed morning. Kol tov, everyone.